in Randolph County and from miles around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ransparta means WHCO.
Horror folks on the go, it's 1-2-3-0.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO, Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
And good morning. 9:30, time now for the People Speak. I'm Jeff. Hope you're having a good morning. Talking today with Illinois State Senator Terry Bryan. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, Jeff. Gosh, it's good to be back together again. A lot of stuff has happened since we spoke last month.
That is true. A lot, there has been quite a bit going on, and internationally as well as right here in Illinois.
Oh, my goodness.
Rather than get at it, let's jump right into one topic that I'm sure a lot of people are interested in, and that's the deal going on with Mike Madigan.
Yeah, you know, last month when we spoke, I think we were talking about whether or not Mike Madigan would get indicted, and I've been pretty convinced that he would. And so we just saw that happen, right? In fact, on Wednesday, he was supposed to be arraigned, which happened. He did get arraigned. But, you know, the funny thing is that he did not have to appear in person. And, in fact, his attorney entered his plea for him. I never did hear clearly if he was actually on the phone.
Right.
You know, courts have kind of been shut down somewhat. And so they've allowed people to, instead of appearing in person, they've allowed them to just kind of call in their, you know, on an arraignment.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that both he and his cohort, Mike McLean, were able to do it through their attorneys over the phone. I wanted to see Mike Madigan do the perp walk, right? So I was right. Looking forward to seeing him in a yellow jumpsuit and those plastic shower shoes. But he didn't even speak. His attorney made the plea for him. But listen, Rod Blagojevich made a statement a while back when Mike Madigan said that he was not under investigation, that he didn't know why people were saying that, when everybody in the state knew that under the investigation that Mike Madigan was public official A. Rod Blagojevich said of Mike Madigan something to the effect of, "Man, as someone who's been public official A, I can tell you when you are public official A, you are the investigation," right? So we're now seeing that Mike Madigan has been indicted along with, as I said, his cohort, Mike McLean. We also know that Ed Burke, an alderman in Chicago, has been indicted. He happens to be the husband of Chief Justice of the Illinois Supreme Court, Ann Burke. And then multiple others. And we also know that there was a wiretaps on phones, and there was someone wearing a wire for 2 to 2.5 years. So I think the gig is up. So we'll see what happens. Mike Madigan's 79 years old. And even if this drags out for 10 years and he never sees jail time, certainly his golden years are not going to be as comfortable as he thought. And, you know, people who think they're going to get away with something should take a look at Jussie Smollett. Right, so maybe Jussie Smollett didn't get a whole lot of time in jail. I think last night he was sentenced to 150 days for his crime of faking, the noose around his neck, and said that some Trump followers did a racial attack on him. Remember, Kim Fox was not going to prosecute him, and they brought in a special investigator. And lo and behold, he did get convicted in a jury trial, and now he's going to do 150 days in jail. Not a lot, but you know what? It's better than nothing, and I would say the same thing of Mike Madigan. He's been indicted. Right. And so we'll see what happens.
The thing is that he's out of the political machine now. So.
That's exactly right. And more than that, not just out of the political machine, his name is like a pariah now. No one wants to attach himself to it. You know, talking about, you know, getting things done since the last time we talked, people have, most of the people that are going to be on the ballot have filed to be on the ballot. And people are running, in the Democrat Party, are running as fast as they can get away from Mike Madigan. No one wants to have their name attached to him. And gosh, that's way different than it was a year ago.
It's amazing how things, you know, it will catch up with you. Like I say, you're not going to get away with it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, it may take a while.
But, yeah.
All right, we need to take a break here, so we'll go ahead and do that and come back. You're listening to The People Speak. We're talking today with Illinois State Senator Terry Bryant. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back again. Talking today with 58th District Senator Terry Bryant here on The People Speak.
So we had a lot of other things happen this week or this month in Springfield, but in particular, we were in session this past week, and so we're calling now for a freeze. The Republicans are. We just filed a bill yesterday, Senate Bill 4195, asking for a freeze in the sales tax that's on top of our motor fuel tax. So when you go to the pump, we have a motor fuel tax that's on top of the gas that you're buying. Right. That motor fuel tax money goes into a lockbox that pays for our roads and bridges. So we took care of the government being able to sweep those funds like they used to, and we're seeing a lot of road work being done. So the first thing that we don't want as legislators is to touch anything that's in that lockbox. The people of Illinois have trusted us with their money and said we want our roads and bridges fixed. They're seeing it getting done, and they want to make sure that that's protected. But beyond that, we've got this sales tax on top of a tax, which just absolutely infuriates me. We're one of only 7 states in the United States that has a sales tax on top of our motor fuel tax and on top of our gas. In the case of Illinois, it's 6.25%. It's, you know, so we're one of only 7 states that has a percentage that's going to go on there.
Which is a tax on a tax.
It's a tax on a tax, right? And so what are we taxing with that 6.25%? We're taxing the price of gas. So we see right now what I strongly believe is the fault of the Biden administration with the with what they're doing in Russia, what they're doing in China, what they've done with closing the Keystone Pipeline, closing ANWR, doing all of the things that they've done to take us from finally being energy independent to now being dependent upon Russian oil and oil from the Middle East again. I mean, we were at a place where we didn't give a flip what OPEC said, and now we're back to having to be dependent upon what OPEC says that they're going to do with oil that affects us, right? So at this point, we have to make a decision as a state. What are we going to do about that sales tax? So yesterday, the Republicans filed Senate Bill 4195, which freezes our gas tax, where the percent, the dollar amount, or the price of that gas tax where it was set last July. Okay, so last July, the 6.25% that was on the price of gas back then, which was really almost a dollar less than it is, or probably a little bit more than a dollar less than it is right now. What we're going to run into is, if we don't freeze it right now, if we don't freeze it, when July rolls around, that 6.25% is going to be set on the price of gasoline right now. So we could be looking at gas prices at around $5.50 by then. That's the projected amount. And a 6.25% on that $5.50, rather than going back to when it was around $3 a gallon. Right. What does that mean to the consumer? About $1 billion over the next fiscal year. So July to July of the next year could be about $1 billion. That's 16 cents a gallon at the pump. So add that into your family budget and see how much that can save us. So so here's the question, right? We're rolling into the last, what will roughly be the last 3 weeks of a legislative session if the calendar holds, because we're set to end April 8th this year. And the Democrats this week told us that's a hard date, that we're going to be done April 8th, come hell or high water, right? And so if that's the date, we have 3 weeks to get this fixed. Well, I've watched them in Springfield before bring talking about the Safety Act that we talked about last month. I watched them put something into a shell bill at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that we didn't see until 8 o'clock that night, that was voted on the very next day at literally the 11th hour. You can put something together in less than 24 hours. We have 3 weeks right now to get this motor, this sales tax on the motor fuel tax at least frozen. I'd like to see the whole sales tax issue go away. But we've talked on this show before about structure, and the fact is that sales tax goes to municipalities, goes to our townships, and that's what runs the government.
Right.
So until we change structure, we have to be very careful how we handle this. The safest way to make sure that our municipalities can be taken care of, and we don't damage the lockbox where we're getting roads and bridges fixed, is to address the sales tax right now. So we can save our consumers 16 cents a gallon at the pump by taking care of this right now. So the folks that are listening in, what do they need to do? They don't need to call me, because I'm 100% behind Senate Bill 4195. I'm a co-sponsor on the bill. I'm locked into it, and I want to see it done. They need to be calling the governor's office. They need to be calling the Democrat members of the House and the Senate and saying, get this done and get it done today, right? So we're going to be, the Senate's out next week. We're not in session. The House is. So the House can take the language of that Senate bill, run it through the House next week. We'll be ready to go the following week when we get to the Senate. That's a very reasonable option.
Right.
So listeners should be calling their members of the House and the Senate on the Democrat side and tell them to get on board with Senate Bill 4195.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like for some of the folks, especially, I know that you have a lot of people from Department of Corrections that listen in, and we've had some real concerns about what the director has proposed at both Vandalia and Pontiac. So they're going to be closing some housing units at Vandalia Correctional Center and Pontiac Correctional Center, and they have been moving those inmates to Centralia and to Lawrence. But I have concerns not only about the closure of housing units and what that'll mean to the department in the long run, but in the short run right now, we're asking the governor to allow all of his executive orders to end, right? His I call it tyrannical rule, so I'd like his tyrannical rule to end, of course, but I'm a little more vocal than maybe some other people would be. But in this case, he has an executive order that prohibits county jails from moving their inmates into DOC. So these are individuals who have been sentenced to the Illinois Department of Corrections but are being held in county jails. While they're being held in county jails, the Department of Corrections is supposed to pay for them to be there. They haven't paid them, most of them, for a very long time, and they're only paying $30 a day for those individuals to be there. So I'm getting phone calls daily from sheriffs who say, can you please help us get these individuals moved from county jails into DOC where they belong? I'm happy to try to do that, but the fact is that the governor's executive orders continue to be issued. And so two issues here. One is, I want the governor to end his executive orders. This is another one of those. And then the second thing is, if you continue to close housing units, where are those individuals going to go? Because when I was elected in 2014 and sworn in 2015, your listeners will remember that we had overcrowding in the Department of Corrections to the tune of 130%. So we were overcrowded at 130%, and all of a sudden, you know, we released from now back to 2015, we've released about 17,000 individuals. And so I think we're at that time our headcount was like 35,000. So we're down now to somewhere in the 20,000s. And if once we start moving them from the county jails over to Department of Corrections again, will we have the housing to do that, or are we going to be overcrowded again? So those questions, of course. And I do, you know, always, like, I don't know how much time we have, but I do like to always talk about something good while we're on here.
Right.
And one good thing that's happening is DCFS reached out to me because there is an office of DCFS in Mount Vernon, and they're very engaged. You may remember that we have had two individuals who have been killed in the line of duty as DCFS investigators. So those persons are tasked with basically going in and removing children from a home where it's dangerous for them. And Pam Knight, and then the other young lady's last name is Solis. Both of these individuals were killed really going to a home to remove children. And there's been an outcry that says, you know, how can we fix this? Do we arm the DCFS employees? We certainly want to pass what's known as the Pam Knight law in order to make it a felony for attacking someone who's in, you know, who's a DCFS worker in those cases. But I think we can go a little bit farther than that. And one thing that we can do is have them accompanied by a deputy or a law enforcement officer when they go to those homes. So Jefferson County is now partnering. There will be an officer who is identified through the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department who will go out on those kind of calls with the DCFS worker and you know, and basically help them while they're doing that. So hopefully it'll, you know, it'll all work out. It's a pilot program right now, and we want to make sure that, you know, that those folks are kept safe.
Okay. So, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, I'm like you said, going to situations like that, you don't know what you're going to do. It's just like in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're going to be running into. I mean,
yeah, certainly. And so, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that have been going on this week. We saw, as I said, the House was in session. They tell me that they're going to have all kinds of controversial bills rolling over to us in a week and a half, or 2 weeks when we get back.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working very closely with Representative Freeze to try and stay on top of the issues that are going to be important to us. Kaskaskia Port District. You know, I don't think a lot of people really appreciate the importance of the Kaskaskia Port District and Kaskaskia River. That port district is the 12th busiest. They move the 12th largest amount of product is moved through that port district for inland ports in the United States. So we have this wonderful asset right here in our own communities. That we have a bill that David Freeze and I are carrying. He carried in the House. I'll be carrying now over in the Senate to clarify some language so that we can expand the port district. They can, you know, they can actually have deed to and own the properties that they already thought they owned. So we're trying to make it more and more possible for that port district to expand. We had some meetings this week with IDNR. I'm still fighting an issue with the governor's office, where the governor's office wants to replace all the members of a it's a board basically that advises IDNR. Those board members would naturally end their time on the board in February, but for some reason the governor wants to August 1st basically wipe all of those people off the board, and then reappoint everyone by his choice. I'm going to tell you something. It was a disaster when Governor Pritzker did that to the Tollway Board in the Chicago area. Mm-hmm. So I had red flags are going up all over the place for me when Governor Pritzker says he wants to wipe out a board, reappoint his own people. He would have the ability already to do that in February, but he says he wants to do it in August. Why?
Right.
So those those kind of questions don't seem to be able to be asked. Let me tell you what this board does. They're supposed to meet quarterly. This law, this new law that the governor wants, would say they only meet once a year. The board also has some oversight over grants that are made by IDNR to the tune of up to $2 million. What grants are floating around in there that the governor wants to have control over between August and February? I'm not saying that there are, but I am asking some questions like, what are you trying to do? This is very suspicious to me. They also set the bag limits for hunting seasons. So, this is a group that decides how many ducks can you take home. I mean, I want a board that understands that, that if it's a day like today, mm-hmm. if this were duck and goose season right now, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I'd be sitting in a blind. Perfect day to go duck hunting, right? I think it's very important to maintain oversight over state agencies and more so over governors who come and go, and specifically over a governor who has displayed that he likes tyrannical rule, that he likes to go beyond the legislature, he likes to go beyond the judiciary, who wants to set himself up above three branches of government. He wants his one branch of government to be in charge. And we have to make sure that that doesn't happen. Right.
The reason the country was set up the way it was to prevent
checks and balances.
Because what you have with what he's trying to say is a dictatorship.
Yes, we need checks and balances. It makes the government move slowly, but ladies and gentlemen, the government should move slowly most of the time, because when it moves too quickly on certain issues, then we have tyranny.
Right. Got a quick break here we'll throw in and get that out of the way, and then we'll come back and finish up. You're listening to People Speak. And welcome back. A little bit of time left here on the People Speak, talking with Senator Terry Bryant. And we've covered quite a bit, but a lot of stuff, like you said, earlier, a lot of stuff going on in the state. So we just kind of, each month, like you said, it's good we do this monthly because things change all the time.
Right, right. Yeah, we're going to see some things happening in court, I hope, before the next time we're together. I think Ed Burks, as I mentioned, Ed Burks' trial is coming up. But there's some good things that are going to be happening kind of in the Murfreesboro, Carbondale area. We had some excitement while I was in Springfield this past week. My daughter-in-law and some friends sent me pictures of Walmart in Murfreesboro was on fire. They were doing some work on the roof, and the roof caught on fire. And they called out, actually, I think they called out three fire departments on that. And the fire was big enough that it fell through the roof. And, as a woman who just loves shoes, I was sorry to see that, there was fire anyway, but it fell down into the shoe department and caught all those shoe boxes on fire. So some folks sent me some pictures of the shoes on fire as well as the smoke outside. I think it's going to be Walmart in Murfreesboro is going to be closed for a short time. Good news is Walmart was kind enough to move the employees there over to the Carbondale store, so no one's going to lose their jobs. No one was hurt. I'm the mom of a paid on-call fireman for Murfreesboro, Pomona, Somerset, and my son's married now and out of the house, but goodness, when he was at home and you'd hear that, hear a fire department get toned out, as the heart of a mother, my heart sunk. And so I'm always, always glad to hear that no one was hurt, that the firemen got in and out and no employees were hurt. And then soon, hopefully Walmart will be open again and up and running. That's a big tax, generator, a big revenue generator for the city of Murfreesboro. And we just can't have that closed for very long.
Exactly. All right, well, we are out of time, but Senator, thanks for being with us.
Hey, good to be with you. Happy to talk to you anytime.
And we'll look forward to talking to you again next month.
Next month.
All right. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you next time. Have a great day.